Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
It's your hosts.
Salsa.
James. And special guest.
Jenna's roommate.
Yeah. Fuck.
That was good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm pretty proud of that.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. All right, this is what's happening.
That's okay. It's like golf. Lower points is good, right? Oh, we
alley-oop.
Probably should have said
one.
What we're drinking
one,
first, but okay.
Two.
Well, it's too late. Okay.
Two.
You're not gonna want to wait. You're
double.
Gonna,
yeah, put it down.
As I was saying, we probably should have said what we were doing here.
That's super tasty.
Yeah.
That was fucking amazing.
Yep. So, since the usual name for that drink is probably a little...
The Irish Dream?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, the...
The Irish
instead
Dream.
Of a regular Irish Dream, using Guinness and Bailey's, we used... different Irish cream liqueur.
Brady's Irish Cream.
And
Young's Double Chocolate.
Where yeah, a did double you get that? Chocolate because stout. I want that in my life more.
The double chocolate stout,
yes.
Or just the whole Irish
Young's,
Dream?
Yes.
Young's Double Chocolate, you can get at any liquor store.
Really?
Same as oh, yeah.
It
we
is
can, yeah.
Fucking
we can
delicious.
Check
oh,
Chicago
yeah.
Lake.
I've never had it before.
Really?
Yeah.
You're missing out. Yeah.
Young's
Double Chocolate
yeah.
is the bomb.
It's holy a stout,
fuck.
Right?
Yes.
Stouts are like my jam. Stouts and porters are like exactly where I go to, unless
no,
it's time for a nice sour.
That one's super good.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, my name's Bryn.
suppose we could have gotten there.
Okay,
eventually.
Now this is when Salsa reveals that he has not been recording it. It was actually triple reverse.
I know.
Double agent psychology.
Yep.
That's... I had a moose and squirrel. Okay.
I'm so happy.
Damn it, man.
Anyway. As we said, Jenna is not here. Jenna is feeling under the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are getting this anytime in the semi-recent... time frame, like wish her well.
If you are with us,
if you're listening to this 5 months in the future,
yeah.
don't suddenly send her a message saying.
I mean, you could.
Better. I suppose you could.
I mean, there's
she,
always
she
something.
Might be sick again,
but there's always something.
Somebody in 5 months send her a message saying feel better.
Yeah, set timers, everybody. I'm gonna say, wait, hold on, let's coordinated attack. May.
23rd
is a good yeah.
All right, so May 23rd,
so 5/23.
Everybody sends her a message that says "get better."
Yep.
Just get better,
or just get well soon.
Get well soon.
Get better. Mm. I mean,
get better.
Jesus.
Slightly aggressive and
yeah.
demeaning.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. I mean, if it comes in with a swarm
I mean,
of other things,
I would absolutely send her a message that says "get
right."
Better.
Yeah.
But the rest of you just
that's
yeah,
fair.
The rest of you, I have a deep question for you. Do you really want to send a message that Salsa would send? And the answer is no. Nobody wants this. So yeah, there's that. It has been a fucking week.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes.
For the remainder of this episode, the
yes.
Role of Salsa will be played by Salsa drinking this brain belt.
Oh, it's a grain belt?
Brain
no,
belt.
It is a brain belt.
Is it any kind of IPA?
It is the grain belt from Halloween that has been in my fridge forever.
Cool.
Nice.
So.
Have fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Grain belt
should
Salsa.
Should I go first here?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Over the weekend, I did many things. I cooked on fire. And
I usually do, but...
like, outside. Made fire outside and cooked.
In this
made fire!
In this weather, yes. Very specifically, in this weather.
Huh. I don't
yeah,
know
it was wonderful.
If you've met James.
No, I haven't. I'm still waiting for that
lucky.
Day.
Yeah.
If it's, like, anywhere close to a livable... degree inside. He goes outside when it's like dead of winter. He takes off his jacket. Ah, finally. Well, like,
especially, see, I
set free.
There does need to cool down that enormous penis.
God damn it, man.
Probably puts off a lot of heat.
Absolutely infected the podcast. Because he gets this at home, too.
Oh, does he now?
Oh, no. This is a long-standing thing.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh, I'm so happy.
God damn it.
Long-standing.
I'm going to go get another drink. Clearly going to need that.
Sorry. You were saying.
I also saw a really great puppet show. I saw Puppet Lab, and it was... You just look like you've got something to fucking say. Just what?
No.
Okay.
He's going to make you think about it and keep thinking about it and just stare at you.
God damn it. All right. So here we go. Eye contact over here. No, that's not working either. Hello, light bulb. Yeah. So... This puppet show is fucking amazing. I wish it is open for another week or two, but it will be different shows than the ones that I saw. One of them was Ruminations on the End of the World with a tiny pair of puppets that were so well articulated. That puppeteer was really fucking great. Mm-hmm. It is honestly one of the best shows I've ever seen. No qualifications. Exactly my kind of story. I loved it. The other one was also excellent. It was an Anansi story and was really fucking clever. And the puppet work, the puppet design in that was amazingly clever. The one about the end of the world had all of the sets built into a giant book. And they said, you know, this is the last story. This is the story of the last person. There will be no other stories after this. And, like, flopped the book down and then opened it up and the set popped out of it like a pop-up book, but with intricate moving pieces.
Like and, a pop-up book.
Well, in particular, folding it flat allowed the puppeteer to rotate the house that popped out of it and turn it into different sets.
Mm, cool.
Or, like, the structure that popped out of it had pieces that moved in very surprising ways and then folded. It became a shadow theater and had all kinds of different stuff in it. It was fucking fantastic. And then every time there was a set change, the puppeteer would quickly fold everything down as the page moved to the next one, and the next set would pop out. It was really fucking mind-blowing.
Cool.
Watching these elaborate, like, the house had a bed with sheets and had, like, a table with chairs and things that didn't pop up right away. They were set pieces that were moved into position after the house had been popped up. Sure. It was just like, boop, 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 connected everything. And it was so incredible. And really heartbreaking and beautiful. And then the Anansi story was really funny and kind of a clever new story with old characters. Mm. Yeah. But again, those are done. So sorry.
So too bad.
Yeah. If you see descriptions that kind of match that in a future Puppet Lab, fucking... You go see it.
So where was this again?
This was at the Open Eye...
Figure Theater.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. The Open Eye... Isn't it?
Open Eye... Yeah.
Figure Theater? Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, that's the full name. All right.
One of my friends does Puppet Lab, and she's doing it next week.
Yes, so. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, even though you can't catch these two shows, please do go catch more of them. Because I understand that all of their shows are like this.
I think Salsa's fact-checking me. Are you fact-checking me?
Looked, I've never heard of the Open Eye Figure Theater.
I hadn't either.
So I'm
But the building is gorgeous, too.
Yes, it is.
Holy crap.
Where is it? Oh, over there?
In the historic village of over there. Yes.
Okay. Asshole.
But it was just, I loved it. And also did yoga.
Yes.
And it turns out that all yoga is hot yoga, as far as I'm concerned.
It's just because I was there.
I mean, there's that. But also, I accept this. It was also just like a regular size studio space, and it was real fucking full. There were a lot of people in there.
It was a little... It was pretty square, like, I'd say, mm-hmm. like, what do you want to say, 20 by 20 feet? Maybe 25 by 25?
Yeah, I would say, like, 25 by 25. Yeah. Maybe 20 by 25, something like that. Yeah. They had the window open, and I was sweating. Yeah. It was a super good experience, though, and I'm looking forward to going back.
It was hip-hop yoga, too.
Yeah.
So, I had some... Yeah, it was a mix of really chill music, mm-hmm. like the traditional meditative music, and then during some of the more active parts, they would put on hip-hop. It was Jungle 612.
Yep.
Super cool.
Yeah, the place is called Jungle 612, and it was nice.
They have a Groupon.
Yeah.
Active parts?
Oh.
Of
have
yoga.
Have you been to yoga?
God, no.
Right.
Well, okay.
I'm straight.
I don't think... It works that way.
Are you, Kyle?
That is not the way the nipples work.
Okay, sure, but follow-up question. Are you? Okay, all right.
So now Salsa has to come to yoga with us.
Yeah, right.
the problem is he's going to look at the mat and be like, when I do this, they're nails. At what part do we breathe fire? When do I swallow a sword?
And I'm going to give you the straight answer here. I am more than happy to be dared into doing things, but there's no audience, so...
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Nobody's paying admission.
We
so
could do
that.
Yoga for... For Fearless. No, for the 50-hour comedy marathon. Can you imagine?
We already do dance, and that's fun.
Can you fucking imagine a bunch of comedians doing yoga?
Oh, it would be so good if we had people, like, riffing on the class.
Yes. I don't want to, like, rip apart yoga.
No. Just the instructor. We could get Cole to, you know, put us through our paces, but then also we could be like
pushing his buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so down for this.
Yeah. And it's a dumb idea that I had, so I know Cole will go along with
and
it.
And so much physical comedy.
Yes.
So much physical
Very
comedy.
Very much.
Also, this was my idea.
Yeah. Fair enough.
James is also a straight guy, so he takes credit for things women have said.
I see.
Fair.
I've had to call people out on a lot of shit this week.
Yeah, so. You have.
Yeah, I have.
So that that was
tell us more.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I saw Star Wars, and that's my weekend. What did you do?
So I work in a middle school, and there were a couple things, including our kids had a wrestling tournament at our school. A couple of my kids were like, you should come and see it. I'm like, I could stay for 5 minutes. But then I saw that the visiting coach was slapping the boys' asses. Like he would shake their hand and then slap their ass. And I'm like, hey, sports director, do you see this happening? And
Fairly
he's
common, actually.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean that it's okay.
No.
And that was his response, was that, well, it's wrestling. And I said, yeah, well, PTSD. And then one of the moms came up to me. I hadn't met her. And then again, I've only worked here for, you know, whatever, a year now. Woot, woot. but she said, can you please tell the coach to stop doing that? We've asked him before. She was from the visiting team. That was her kid's coach. And apparently the parents have asked him to stop before and he fucking doesn't. And so I'm here with the sports director going, you need to like do this or I'm going to. Mm-hmm. And I babysit him for half an hour until he actually plucks up and does it. If he hadn't been the athletic director,
sure,
I would have just gone over and done it.
Right.
But it's kind of his place to do it. And he was dragging his feet.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I followed up with him on it, he made kind of like a crude joke towards me about like the guy asking me for my number and things like that. And I had to look at him and go, I don't find that funny. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me a while, like, to get to the point where I can recognize things in the moment and call people out on that shit in the moment. Because, like, there have been times when people have made sexist comments to me or mansplained something to me or, like, been awful or done something really gross. And I freeze up because that's a natural response of, did you actually fucking just do that? What is the socially appropriate response that I haven't been trained to have? Mm-hmm. Like, I've been trained to have the quote-unquote socially responsible response of sit down, be quiet, it's just a part of society. As a woman, shh. So I've been, like, it's taken me some time to reprogram my mind of what to do in the moment. But I was actually able to stop and say, no, I don't find that funny, which he came back later and stopped in my classroom during my prep and said, thank you for calling me out. And thank you for mentioning that because you're right. It wasn't funny. And, you know, I said, if we were at a bar and talking or if we had a different relationship or a different social circumstance that we were in, you know, there's a possibility that it would be funny. But we're already talking about a man who's like sexually harassing boys. So let's not. Let's not do that.
Not the time.
But it was good because he was able to kind of verbally process through, wow, some of these boys might actually have PTSD. We don't know who's been touched at home. We don't know who's been assaulted and things like that. So, yeah, I was able to kind of help him think through that.
Good on you.
Yeah. And so that was one of the many things. But since the school year started, I took on an anime and amigurumi class, which is crocheting and cartoons. And I started debate. I'm the debate coach? Question mark. It's one of those things.
Not off to a great debate start here.
So that's it.
My position is no.
My position is bullshit. But yeah, and then I went to Star Wars and yoga, hip hop yoga.
With who?
What? That's not.
Yes. So it was quite lovely. Those things were quite lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just did lab with my friend Kalila.
Nice.
It was her first time on stage. And she was like, I don't know what to do, because we were all Ericing her into doing lab. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, how about I be on stage with you and we can tell the story of how we met? And because we riff off of each other all the time. And so it was really good. It was really positive. And by the time I was over at the bar, like tabbing out, she had Kayla and Abby and Aaron swarming her and talking to her about her performance, and Jessa wanted to get over there and talk to her as well. And so and Jake pretty much let her know that she was doomed and is she's just, this is her life now. She's doomed and she's going to be fearless at some point, more than likely. So yeah, good times.
Good. Well, I'm at least they know in advance.
It's like,
we warned her.
It's like emotionally supportive zombies.
Emotional support zombies? Are they allowed on planes?
Well, emotionally supportive, like letting you know.
No, but I'm moving on to the next step here. Are emotional support zombies allowed on planes, or do they need an extra seat?
Planes.
Well, I mean, it depends on how far into their meal they are.
Are we classifying zombies as human or pet?
It depends on how far into their meal they are.
I mean, there's that. But also, like, if they get an in-flight meal, I mean, I'm sure that they'll get lots of in-flight meals, but if they are served an in-flight meal.
Right.
Well, then wouldn't it just
chicken
be...
chicken or fish?
Well, I mean, chickens have bigger brains, so...
Hmm.
Wouldn't this be... if we're assuming that they're serving zombies, like zombie delicacies, wouldn't we be assuming that this is like a zombie airline?
Ooh.
Because they don't...
like, that wasn't an assumption?
Well, if they... if you have a pet...
right.
Dead
if
air.
You have a pet... and they don't offer your pet food, no, but if you're offering a zombie a meal, you're assuming that they're a passenger.
That's why I'm asking. Would they offer the zombie a meal? Because I feel like it would be a poor idea to serve zombie food while you're in mid-flight.
Would
so
you?
I would probably
prefer that they're hungry.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, okay. Okay, that does make more sense.
Are we pushing them into first class?
No, I don't think... I do. Do emotional support animals get pushed into first class? I don't know.
Not on their own.
No, but it'd be a literal interpretation of eat the rich.
Eat the rich, and then eat the poor, and then eat the landing gear.
And then eat the pilot, which is a really poor idea.
It is, yeah.
Well, then the contagion goes down, and then we save the world.
No, it lands in the Hudson River, and then Zombie Sully is played by Tom Hanks. Yeah.
Hey, Salsa, what have you been up to?
Trying to figure out where this conversation went.
Into the Hudson.
The Hudson River, yeah.
Apparently.
With Zombie Sully.
Do animals get zombified? Is that a thing?
It is. In a lot of lore, like zombie dogs in Resident Evil, zombie crows, like it happens. You would think that the prevalence of insects as...
Well, just rats.
Potential
zombie
carriers.
How would zombie crows work if we're talking about slow-moving zombies? Because in slow-moving zombies, how would crows be able to keep themselves afloat?
They might have
no, they would just hop menacingly toward you.
Oh, God.
Well, they already do that.
Yeah, but
nobody.
Like more menacingly.
but you're right. It's just insects or rats or mice. You would definitely think that something would get through the chain link fence at some point.
Wouldn't that be...
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that'd be a movie stopper, though. That'd be just be, like, overkill.
I mean, I'm not talking about movies. I'm talking about zombie apocalypses.
Yeah.
But we talk about
clearly
movies.
Talking about real life.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah, like, if...
What were you talking
about? If flies landed on zombies, which, why wouldn't they?
No, but...
You would ask,
but no, I'm,
why?
Because people always, they have these, like, legitimate, like, if the zombie thing happens, this is what I'm gonna do. And it's like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's fair.
Buy a bug zapper.
If the whatever it is can jump to animals, we're fucked.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it depends.
There's nothing you can do.
There's a reason that they use mice as, like, comparison for human brains and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, you're right. That would suck.
Yeah, you're going to get a rabbit or a fox or a rat or something digging under the fence and getting into your food stores while you sleep, and then you
and just, you?
Yeah.
While just, you sleep?
That, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. There's... You can do your whole doomsday, you know, whatever you want, unless you're actually one of those people that seals yourself into a bunker, like an airtight bunker. No. Good luck. You can buy all of the guns you want. You can buy all of the canned food you want. Some, you know, white mouse is going to get in and nibble on your toe while you're sleeping, and you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it'll take some time. Well, okay, but counter.
It'll take time, but they've got time.
That's fair, but in all of the time
at least
that
until
I've had, like, mice in my walls and things like that, like, when I've had apartments that have had mice, I've seen them, but they've typically run away from me. Do you think that zombie mice would be more...
Yeah.
More
rabid mice or
bold?
Mice that are infected with toxoplasmosis.
Zombies.
No, really. Like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, they...
If they are
rabid or if they're infected with toxoplasmosis, they are no longer afraid of people.
Right, but toxoplasmosis, they just kind of like sit there.
And if there's zombies,
they don't bite them.
They would attack you.
That's true.
They would nibble your toes.
Wouldn't they try to nibble your brain, though?
Yeah, they're just starting
through
at
your
the other
toes?
End.
Ugh.
Well, you don't just go straight for the entree. You need to start with the soup course.
Toe jam.
And Earl.
Who's Earl?
Toe Jam's friend?
I thought it was the mouse.
No, that was played with a gamepad.
Mm.
So that's what I've been doing this week.
And that's the meaning of Christmas.
And then I found $5.
Oh, good story.
And he was never seen again.
And Finn.
Bunch of flowers.
I had my first directorial session.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Or whatever. I don't know what that's. Mm. Rehearsal. That's the word. I had my first rehearsal as a director yesterday.
Nice.
I am one of the directors for the Fearless Five.
Excellent.
And the play I am directing was written by some jerk.
Story checks out.
But we have been through. Anybody who's been listening along with this podcast will know we have gone through the rehearsal or the auditions, and we had the table read with all the actors, and mm-hmm. rehearsals started yesterday. With my play being the Monday slot, so I got to direct for the first time ever yesterday.
How was that?
And it was fucking terrifying because I'm an overthinker. Oh yeah, no, I've been stressing out about this for months.
Yeah,
because as we all know, I go, you know, on a scale of, you know.
One to salsa,
how stupid is this? But I am going to consider every fucking angle mm-hmm. 27 different ways. And I did that and freaked myself the fuck out. Mm. But it ended up going fairly well.
Yeah. Eventually you just have to trust your actors.
That's basically what I had just eventually had to trust myself.
It's really oh, God, don't do that. Have you met you?
No, God, no. I don't want to. Everybody says that guy's a jerk.
Story checks out.
But, it was after a while, there's just no more worrying you can do. It's 7 o'clock. People are standing there. You got to start.
Yep.
And that's basically what it boiled down to.
They probably prefer you to my directorial style as well.
It depends on the person. I don't know. I've never been directed by either of
you. I made them jog in place.
God, fuck you.
What?
Yeah.
To warm them up?
Yeah.
Oh, well, warm-ups are... Yeah, we did warm-up games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But jogging in place?
I don't see
physically warmed up their voices, and then right. warmed up their brains.
This is fairly standard, is to warm them up physically.
Yeah.
So why...
I don't know. I at least have them do toe touches.
Yeah, no, we did warm-up games, and then we did a table read again, just to get everybody's mind fresh, and then we...
Good.
Mm-hmm. We got up, and we did some blocking, and after I went home, there was a couple places I was like, no, that's shit, I'm going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
good.
And a couple other spots where... There's some prop... There's some humorous prop work in the middle that is going to be just impossible to block until we actually have the props.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, so this is... No. Just do the lines right now.
Sometimes that's how it goes. Yeah.
Yep.
So, but otherwise, I feel like I did pretty good. And one of my actors is a really close friend of mine. I actually gave her a ride to and from the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about things on the way home.
You know, nice.
And heard her from an actor standpoint.
Yeah.
And she's a professional actress. Like, mm-hmm. she went to college. She's got her master's degree in acting. Like, she's done this a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nice.
So she knows what she's talking about when mm-hmm. she's like, this is, you know, when she gives advice on how to, you know, direct an actor, I
mm-hmm.
listen.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, you know, you didn't sound like you were lost or helpless. You know, you sounded like you had an idea and a plan and a vision.
I can bullshit through this.
Yeah, pretty much. she was like, you clearly have an idea of what you want it to look like. And, you know, she was just like, there's just a couple things that, you know, you need to watch for. Apparently, when you are directing, you should never read a line.
What?
You shouldn't read lines when you're directing. When you are directing somebody, you should tell them, give it more, you know, give it more emotion or ramp it up here or do these things. But don't actually say the line. Because what a lot of actors hear is, this is exactly how they want us to say this line.
I mean, that's well, that how I sense. Would yeah. take that.
Right, exactly. And you don't want that.
Yeah.
You want the actor to...
Yeah.
To act, to make that their own. And so you're not actually supposed to do that. You don't actually read lines.
I never thought about that.
Neither had I.
My directors have never done that before. Wow.
They're always like, take that one, bring this emotion up. Mm-hmm. This moment should be momentous. This moment should be more confident. This moment should be more something. You know, they're always giving you some of the emotions, some of the movement, some of the... But they don't tell you how to say the line.
Right.
And I did that a couple times. I was like, this, you know, to do it more like this, you know. And she was like, kind of avoid that sort of thing. Because that will stifle then the actors.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes complete sense.
Bringing their self out into it. And it was just like, oh, that's a really good thing to know. So pro tip, all of you out there, if you're ever directing, don't do that, apparently. So I will avoid doing that in the future. And I will be a better director for it. But
huzzah!
But this is how you learn.
Yeah.
Just little tiny little details like that. This, by the way, is the kind of conversations I love having with people about these little minutia things that are just like, so cool. Anyway.
Weird. You've never mentioned it.
I know, right?
27 different ways?
Speaking of which, see my new podcast when it comes out. Did I just drop major fucking spoilers?
Well, gosh.
No, I didn't. Anyway.
Tell us more salsa.
I will later.
Okay. That's the name of the podcast. Tell us more salsa.
Ooh, I like that. okay, for my third podcast. it was a lot of fun. It was very stressful leading up to it, but once we were there, it was just like, oh, this is how we're doing things, and we did it, and just kind of having the confidence to stop everybody and say, stop and do that over, but different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and because half the people on that stage are people I've known for 10, 15 years.
Right.
You know?
It's
like suddenly being that person to say, you do this thing was for a couple of them. Like I said, my friend, actor friend who I've been friends with for over a decade now, it was just like, we're friends. I'm not like just ordering you to do these things and like judging you on the way you're saying these things, and it's like that with that thing you said, I don't like it, do it different. This is like that was kind of nerve-wracking at the beginning, but once I got into it, by the end of the rehearsal, it was just like I felt more comfortable in that role.
Good.
But at the beginning I was really self-conscious about doing that, you know, because I also didn't know if I was being really shitty at it or not, so I didn't want anybody to hate me, and I feel like nobody does yet. So
not yet.
Not in the cast.
No. Once we get the second rehearsal.
I mean, Jenna's not here, but she was quietly seething for a few seconds just now.
I mean,
doesn't even know why.
Once we get to the second rehearsal, we'll get into Stanislavski, and then we'll see where that goes.
Oh, God. And they're eating the cucumber sandwiches of their early love. I want to eat the cucumber sandwiches of our early love.
Okay, you're a tree in the winter. Feel the ice. Feel the snow.
That's not how I do my acting method. See, I have a filing cabinet, and in each drawer of the filing cabinet is a file that has... these different traits for my characters, and I pull it out and I put it on.
Look, I've watched a lot of Dawson's Creek. You can't tell me how to act.
Can I tell you that's literally like when I was in college and I was in my directing class?
Yeah.
I got an actor for my final project who fucking said that to me.
Wow.
And I had been telling him to add this one thing, like add this walk. And he told me that, and I said, so write it on the file.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Is the drawer where you keep your good acting locked?
He lost the key a while ago, apparently. But yeah.
What did he say? Honestly, so what did he say when you said to just write it
that's,
on the file?
That's not how I work. It's just such bullshit.
Cool. You're just locked into what you do forever?
Correct. Yeah. And he was in an advanced acting class, too. And we were using methods that they were teaching in that class. And he was just like, I don't do that.
No. Yeah, I've seen a lot of what you can't do.
Your career is going to be in community theater for the rest of your life.
Oh, congratulations. Not with that attitude.
By the way, nothing wrong with community theater.
No, they won't hire him because he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Well, community theater around here, by the way, is so much better than community theater where I grew up.
Yes.
So community theater where I grew up was how many people are going to sign up. Okay.
They're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
how many men can we get?
Yeah, we're still short 20 guys.
Nobody can see it, but I am tapping my nose so fucking hard right now. Yep.
I remember I was really enthusiastic about Man of La Mancha. I still am. I was humming one of the songs when I was in the green room of the St. Cloud Theater Department. And somebody just like turned and they were like, don't even fucking start. Don't get it stuck in anybody's head. No part of that show is in this green room at any time. And I was like, what? Who hurt you? And they were like, people. We tried to do that show, and we were short 8 guys. And we were short all but one woman.
What?
And we cast triple who we could.
Holy fuck.
And Don Quixote could not sing. And the priest could not sing. The
That's
only person
nightmare.
Who could sing out of anybody was Sancho Panza, the one person who's supposed to sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
And so you don't bring that in here.
You know what? You know what? My gut reaction was to stare at him and just sing louder. But after that,
you have empathy.
I'm gonna give him a pass.
No, it was. I had just met her and she introduced herself as Michelle and she says I was named after the Beatles song and I was like, which one? So I'd already met my quota for that day.
Well, it sounds like the kind of thing that you'd go to see, like the way that you go to see Cats.
The problem is that a lot of people who see college theater know people in the show, and there's you. It's
That's why you get high off your rocker, apparently.
Oh yeah, well that is what I've heard, is that people are getting catnipped up and
and going to see Cats,
stumbling into Cats. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Nonsense?
No, I haven't.
One of my favorite lines in there is when Mother Superior is getting high off of drugs she found that was found in the
It was really good.
And she. Yeah, she's just giggling all over the stage, and then the music.
Now I know why my mom likes this show.
The priest who plays the piano is like, Mother Superior, are you okay? And she's like, have you guys tried that? Well, of course you have. You're musicians. Just a fucking gold moment. I mean, that whole play is beautiful from front to back.
Yeah.
But that moment has always
Next time
me.
It's in town, we should go see it.
I saw it in Virginia in my hometown from my community theater there. Mm. By the way, Manassas, Virginia has an awesome community theater and kids theater program. Yeah. But I saw it once and I want to see it again.
Nonsense is fucking great.
Yeah.
It's so goddamn funny. We had growing up, we had the VHS version where Rue McClanahan plays Mother Superior.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
What's a VHS?
Honey, no. Look, we've said a lot of mean shit tonight, but that is going too fucking far.
I couldn't resist. After making these jokes to middle schoolers who literally don't
Diana
know.
Diana Ross, how dare you?
I literally don't know what a VHS tape is. Oh, wait, I know what that is. It's that old thing. I just had to with people who understand.
I'm so proud right now.
So, Ville so tryouts are right coming now. Up for 2020.
This tear coming out of my eye is pride.
And out of the other side is old sadness.
No. We were talking about ripped jeans and how it's an aesthetic, and I said, back in my day when dinosaurs roamed the earth, we had to rip our own jeans. My kids don't even try to tell me I'm not old anymore. But, yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you for enjoying that moment and that sheer pleasure with me.
Should we take a break after that?
I'd need one.
I don't know. I'm okay.
Okay, well,
Yeah, all right.
Too bad you're not in charge. Hey! We'll be right back after this break, and then we'll speak more words into your ear.
After these messages.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Are you sure you want to share it with people?
Well, I guess I'm sure now.
Good, because we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm not Jenna.
Accurate.
Who are?
I'm Bryn.
Okay.
Thanks for asking this time. I appreciate it.
I withdraw the question.
Scolded.
I don't actually care who you are.
That's fair.
True. Per our earlier conversation, though, there are
James, are you gonna try to go
past that? You're driving this segment, dude.
There are moments when I do understand your hatred for people and your need to get away from them.
Oh yeah,
it's when I've been in a concert hall or something
has
like
grounds.
That. Oh, right,
it has
coffee grounds.
So many coffee grounds.
when I've been in a crowded place and it is warm in there.
Mm.
Bryn is right. I will go outside. I will take my jacket off.
Put
outside.
Snow on yourself.
Yes.
And cool that enormous.
No,
penis
God
down.
Damn it. No, because I, being around that many people, it's too fucking warm in there. I don't want it. I don't like it.
I mean,
so
my
no.
reason for hating people is because they're. The
people,
not because of the temperature, but
yeah.
For me, it's not that I hate people, because like I'm a teacher. I can't hate all of humanity,
no,
just most of it at the same
all
time.
Of
no,
I just hate most of it.
Right. Yeah. But it's I think for me, it's more of an I'm an introvert thing, and I know like if people know me, they're like bullshit. But I'm an introvert in that. My energy level goes down in when I'm around more than one person.
There's actually two axes.
Yeah.
Sweet sag, by the way.
Yeah, it's sounds like you know this already, but in case some people don't, there's an introvert extrovert axis, but there's also a reserved and outgoing axis. And I think you and I are both on the same. We're like very introverted, but also outgoing.
Yep. I am really good around crowds and people, but it sucks my battery so quick. It's like running Pokemon Go with the screen on full blast.
I understand this reference.
Thank you. It's nice when people understand that, because oftentimes when we started talking about introvert extrovert, all of a sudden everybody was equating introvert with people who are quiet and extrovert with people who are outgoing or reserved and outgoing.
Yeah.
And it's taken a lot to like change the definition back to, hey, that's not all of it. That's not really.
It's just a function of how you recharge your batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. And I need socialness. Like I have been isolated for a long time in my life, and it doesn't end well when you are completely isolated away from peers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually thought I was an extrovert for a really long time because I was isolated for so long. But then because I was outgoing and I had a social need that wasn't being met.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember in college, I was living with roommates and thinking that I was this extrovert whenever I'd come home and I'd cloister in my room while they're like hanging out in the living room. I'd just cloister straight back to my room, and they called me out. They're like, Bryn, you're a hermit. I go, bullshit. They go, what do you do whenever you get home? I think about it. I'm like, holy shit, they're right. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I was, I disagree on one point, because if I could only ever leave the house to do performances, I would.
I don't think I'm as deep into the introverted spectrum as you are.
I like my friends, and I like performing. Anybody else can fuck right off.
Salsa likes his friends like he likes his performance. Outside the house.
No, that's wrong. I want them to come to my house so I can hang out with my friends without leaving my house.
Oh, gotcha.
And then he performs for them, like trying to stick a pen down his nose.
I mean, these things happen.
Who does this?
No, but no, this is... I'm going to correct you on one thing. I'm not performing for you when I do things like that.
Okay.
That just happens around me when I'm by myself, too.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it makes me feel more close to you.
Yeah.
Or something.
Random shit gets shoved down my throat and stuck in my nostrils fairly regularly.
Me too, but it's usually an accident while I'm eating.
No, I do it on purpose.
Oh. So there's that.
But at least once or twice a week.
Somebody that I was talking to recently made a really, what I think is a really like poignant and strong argument for really sitting down and figuring out what it is that helps to recharge your batteries. Not just figuring out whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, but like for me, I feel energized by going to Fest, by working at the fencing booth, doing street comedy, despite the fact that it just ruins my body forever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel ready to handle everything else, everywhere else, as a result of being able to do that. There are a few things like that that really help me out. But the thing is, it's easy to misidentify. Like for a while, taking car naps was the way that I like self-soothe and recharge. But lately I've been either taking super short ones.
Car naps sounds like a city in Syria, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It is. Sleepy little town.
Carnap.
Yeah. It's the psychic guy from Late Night. The problem
crazy
that I was...
old Carnap, we called him.
Yep.
Uncle Carnap, usually.
Always telling us about World War III.
Snoring so loud.
So
at the same time,
wearing the tinfoil hat under his baseball cap again,
under that kind of racist show turban.
Yeah.
But you could always see the ends poking out. They usually had pom poms.
I take much shorter naps now and play video games, because of video games, especially video games with puzzles, not just action video games, but video games with puzzles are an important way that I achieve like a Zen state.
Relaxation. Yeah.
It has to be something like Tetris or something that is fast paced enough or that feels fast paced enough that you enter that kind of zoned out state. And
right,
I know that may not be either of your jams.
Both of us are making faces.
No, they are. They super are. They are audibly making faces right now. I think that's one of the reasons that I hyper-focused on like armored
core. No, I absolutely understand what you're saying.
Totally.
You get faster and you reach that zen.
Yeah.
That
it's a flow.
You stop being able to have active thoughts.
You can't think fast, and so you have to just feel it happen. Yeah. No, I'm picking up what you're laying down. I understand what you're saying, but
being able to do that or playing Mario or something like that, you reach a point where it's instinctual and you are not thinking about it so much as you are just actively doing that.
Again, achieving flow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is an important part of recharging for mm-hmm. me. And I have not been doing that.
Mm.
I've been playing other video games that I love that make me feel like spiritually better, but they're not healing my mind. They're not taking me out of constantly processing on things. And I've realized that while I was playing some video games, I was still worrying about work or worrying about finances or
right.
worrying
What's
about
that
projects.
Like?
I know, right? Weird. And so I have to have something that forces that to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
I know. I hate competitive things and timed mm-hmm. things. They make me feel really uncomfortable personally. So oftentimes during like competitive board games or like versus board games, I sit back and I knit or I draw or something like that because mm-hmm. they just don't make me feel good.
Right.
I understand a lot of people like them, but like unless I can completely take myself out of the game, like mentally, which is not the point of a game, like I don't enjoy it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been really difficult lately because I'm a teacher, mm-hmm. and I'm in college as well. So actually, this fest was really hard for me because I went into full-time teaching. And I was taking two classes,
mm-hmm. right?
And I was at Fest, and so nothing was refilling me.
Yeah,
yeah. Whereas my wife was getting her master's degree while teaching and doing Fest.
So I'm going to be cutting back on Fest. I'm planning on doing at least half time, because I just can't. I just can't mm-hmm. because Fest was exhausting and awful for me. Whereas usually, like Fest in the past, unless I get heat stroke or heat exhaustion that takes me out for the season, like usually Fest would give me like some sort of fulfillment or energy, but at that point it was just sucking and siphoning my energy away.
I mean, it's that classic, the things that we love the most are killing us, you know, scenario.
Well, as artists.
That's what this person said. They said, find the thing, like I said, that actually recharges you, but don't be confused. Just because you enjoy something,
mm-hmm.
and just because you can get deeply into whatever, you know, hobby or whatever, that doesn't mean that it is actually refilling you.
I've noticed that exercise is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know we all know in our brains that exercise is good for us, but I keep forgetting or pushing to the side that my body actually craves exercise and craves getting to that point. I know not everybody's does, but mine absolutely does. Mm-hmm. But it gets to a point where I haven't exercised in so long that it becomes a background noise thing.
It's a momentum thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that one, and clearly.
So every time that I come back from a really good, like, class at Fight or Flight Academy or like a dance session or yoga or something, I'll be like, man, I really need to remember that exercise makes me feel so good. And I forget every fucking time.
I've been meaning to look into them.
Which one?
Fight or Flight.
Do it!
They're between my work and my home.
Also, you know somebody who works there.
Exactly. So I was just like,
I teach kids.
Might be interesting. As much as you all know,
gesturing towards salsa as if he is a child.
As much as you all know, I pour, you know,
everything,
physical activities. I'm fairly good at tumbling and gymnastics, and think at least I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to be able to do, you know, back handsprings and kip ups and things like that.
Nice.
I'm sure with a little bit of practice, I probably could do again. But that whole kind of parkour thing, it was just like, it could be fun to just kind of fuck around with and have some of that running around and actually getting exercise without it feeling like exercise.
It's a game.
Exactly. And that's the problem I have is, you know, like I said, I wrestled in high school and exercise, exercise was cutting weight sometimes. And stuff like that. And I just, like, you know, just those nights where I was up until 2 a.m. having not eaten for 2 days, you know, running because, you know, I need to lose that last half pound.
Yeah.
It's just like, no.
Wrestling's rough, man.
Yeah, it is brutal.
It's abusive to your body.
But I just, everybody, you know, you get this high from exercising. And I'm like, no.
Well, because your body didn't have what it needed to be able to process that.
Well, I just don't enjoy it. You know, people talk about the runner's high and things like that. It's like the only, like, 40% of people actually experience the runner's high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the people who do are the
religious about it.
People who are like the sports trainers and stuff, and so they assume everybody does get that.
Yep.
And it's like, no, that's not a thing.
I used to get that around 2 a.m. during the afternoon burn in ring one.
But running around Fest, you know, doing tumbling and gymnastics and acrobatics and stuff like that is fun for me. And so I'm just like, I could probably buy into this.
In case anybody's interested, Fight or Flight Academy is a parkour gym in Edina. They have free 101 intro beginner lessons that you can go to. And
just drop-ins.
It's a drop-in. You sign a waiver and blah, blah, blah. But it's for kids. It's for adults. Pre-K, PK now, which is cool. But anyway, it's a really welcoming community. You know, I started going there like 5 years, and I've been there on and off and stuff. But the people there are super supportive and super chill. And I really enjoy being there. And you were talking about stabbing. They actually have sword lessons. Yeah. I think it's Japanese sword, and they have yoga now. So, super cool. And Krav Maga, too. Hmm. So I highly suggest checking them out. One thing that I really like about parkour is that it's short bursts, which is really nice, especially as an asthmatic that has, like, exercise-induced.
Sure.
We do warm up and go running and things like that, and it does build up, but, like, the short activity bursts are really, really nice. Mm-hmm. and it makes me want to get better because you're never against other people. It's a solo sport almost. And yeah, there are competitions and things like that for creativity and flow and speed. But it's also like if we're doing obstacle classes,
I just want to have fun.
It's how you get from point A to point B. Parkour, like one of our friends was on crutches and she was learning how to do parkour on mobility aids.
And fucking killing it too.
Yeah, she was. She was awesome. We called getting up on a box the spite. but yeah, so
there is an inherent danger with parkour and free running.
What?
And that is very similar to when you play too much Katamari and you start calculating in your head how much you need to pick up before you can successfully roll over things in real life.
10 feet.
Doing too much parkour or free running will make you look at the world as a series of obstacle courses.
Yeah. So you start
looking. No. And that's bad?
No.
Coworkers.
And that's bad?
Cubicle walls.
You're saying this like it's a bad thing. I already do this.
Well, now you put it into practice. Yeah, that's fair.
I suppose.
When I first started, there was a Trasus, a girl who did parkour, and I read her blog, and it said, parkour doesn't take strength, it makes strength. And that's a really helpful mantra for other things, too. Like, you don't, it does, like, a skill doesn't take synapse, it makes synapse in your brain, you know? So.
Yep. You're not going to be great the first time you do it.
Nope.
I find Fest to be, like we were saying, it's that artist's brain thing where, you know, it's that is my creativity, that is what my passion is my drive, that is what I have to do is create art. And that, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on who you're talking to, unfortunately or fortunately, in order to create my art, it necessitates people.
Yeah. Oh, honey.
But you know what I mean? Like, I am an introvert.
Yeah.
I'm okay with being around people, but I would much rather have people leave me the fuck alone.
Have you thought about doing a podcast?
But the thing is here at this
podcast... Not actively.
At this podcast, I am in a room with two, maybe three other people.
Yeah. You could just eliminate those, though.
But
he's working on it.
But that's a small group of people.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge crowd of people.
Yep.
There could be a billion people listening, but I don't have to look at them.
Yep.
And unfortunately or fortunately, depending on who you're asking, when I'm doing my art, if there aren't people there looking at me,
right.
I'm not being very productive.
Right.
You know? And so
it's practice.
So, you know, it's, I have to be in front of people. I have to know how to be comfortable talking to people. And I have to be able to walk into a room and have somebody say, you stand up on this stage and talk at these people for 10 minutes because somebody's late. And me going, okay, and doing it because I have learned how to do that. And I can do that. But Lord knows I would much rather be sitting at home by myself with my family or a small group of friends. Like I said, you know, like a small group of friends coming to visit me so I don't have to leave my house.
Well, it's like teaching. Yeah. Sorry, did you want to?
Well, I lost it.
Sorry.
That's okay.
My bad.
It happens to everybody.
If I think of it, go ahead.
Okay. Teaching, I'm super passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I've got like between 26 and 35 kids in my class each hour. I would much rather have a group of 10.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to teach. I don't think
there's a teacher on the planet who's saying, I want a bigger class.
No, but like a group of 10 to do art with would be such a more intimate, experience, you know,
and actually being able to answer questions and pay attention to them. Yeah.
Imagine being able to specifically pay attention to each kid's individual style and aesthetic and growth, which I can pay attention to all my kids' growths, but a smaller portion and a smaller size is preferable. But we have to learn how to deal with the big numbers. Yeah,
I remember what I was going to say.
Yay!
I have a new job. In the past couple of months, I've been through various different training sessions and orientations. It's a really big company, and so there's waves of these. It's not like, here's your orientation and you're done. There's just like, here's the company orientation, here's the tech orientation, here's your department's orientation, here's this training for this tool, here's this other training. So I've been through a few of these. But one of the orientations I went through for the tech department had this other guy in it who and we did our skills assessment, you know, and his skills were very much people driven, discovered throughout the course of that day that he is one of these people who is afraid of silence. Yeah, he never fucking stops talking. And about a week ago, I was sitting in the lunchroom having my lunch. And guess who walks in and sits down next to me? And I am literally, I had that sitting on the bus moment as a woman where I'm literally reading my book. Mm-hmm. I'm eating my dinner and reading a book.
Yep.
And he taps me on the shoulder and he goes, hey, how's it going? You know, good seeing you again. And I'm being polite and I'm like, you know, very good to see you. And I turn back to my book and he continues to talk for the next 15 minutes. And I wanted to fucking strangle the shit out of him.
Salsa, I want to apologize for the time that we spent together working in the same company where I did that.
And I've been
I wasn't going to bring it up. I was hoping you'd forget those moments. I'm not going to say you didn't piss me off a lot sometimes, but every so often, I just wanted to read my fucking book.
Yeah, you know, honestly, if you looked at me, made direct eye contact, and put in a set of earphones, I would have been like, oh.
If only I had earphones.
Yeah.
Yes.
But as I'm sure Bryn will be able to tell you, that always works.
Always. 100% of the time when you send very clear fuck off
right.
vibes.
Well, put earphones in your head and read a book. That tells people not to talk to you.
And that's why we've had to learn how to be very assertive.
And it was just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Why are you talking at all to me right now?
So he like some of your former coworkers, probably wants to be on your podcast, join Fearless, and then eventually come to host with you.
In your home.
Right.
Well, that's quite the long con. Holy shit. Oddly specific long con. But you did it. High five. Fuck you.
Oh. Yes, we went for it too.
I did.
Do we have any more to talk about on this topic?
Oh, that was so good.
No, cool. We'll be right back after
listeners,
this.
Please
tell
us.
Too late. I've already stopped.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
More aware of my introvertedness.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm not Jenna. And Bryn. I'm Bryn, okay?
Yeah.
I'm Bryn.
That is okay.
I mean, the more you say it, the more true it becomes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how I changed my name from Heather.
Yeah.
You know what else is true?
What?
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
For those that don't, you all know
that's good.
Fuck, it works. Fuck you. Today's Fast Five comes to us from...
We're in sync.
Denis Zastera!
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 I just wanted to see that happen. With the dance and all. Yeah. Like, you need to record that and put it on your site or something.
We just did. What do you think this is?
The dance!
We recorded the dance. It just happened.
We recorded the audio of the dance.
Read the fucking question.
Salsa, I'm starting to think we might be assholes.
Oh, honey.
What have I been saying for the last literal decade? Go back to episode one. That's
we
probably
can't.
What
you
I
lost
said.
All of them.
Because I'm an asshole.
I don't think anybody is going to fight
Dennis
you on that.
Says.
Yes, what do they say?
Oi, fuck faces.
Yeah, that seems right.
And Jenna.
Who is not here?
I apologize, but unfortunately that does mean you have been collateral damage in the fuck faces.
I've been collateral damage for a while.
All right. It says, firstly, let me just say I'm not mad.
Oh, boy.
I'm just... disappointed.
Oh.
Yeah, there was...
Jeez.
One, two, three, four, five, six. There was a minimum of 10 line breaks there.
Is that the disappointed button?
Apparently no.
There it is.
Thirdly, here are Fast Five questions sans context for you.
Mm-hmm.
For you. Oh, sorry. For your... amusement.
Ooh.
Not as big a pause as the last one.
I hope not. Be here all night.
Shit.
And then the bear says...
Question number one. Gin or tequila?
Gin.
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 Because...
Fuck tequila.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love tequila. But fuck tequila.
The times that I've had the worst hangovers have always been tequila.
The only time I have browned out... Blacked out, like still been functioning and walking around, but don't remember it.
Blackout.
Browned out.
That's browned out.
Oh, that's browned out?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it's still
the
blackout.
The only time I've... No, blackout is passed out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Browned out is when you are still physically functional, but mentally just...
Got it.
The only time I've ever browned out was on tequila. So, gin.
Gin.
Okay, question number two. David Bowie?
Ooh.
Or Carrie Fisher?
Carrie Fisher. Fuck you both, Carrie Fisher. I'm giving middle fingers.
I'm not sure why I just gotta fuck you, because I'm going Carrie Fisher as well.
Good. But fuck James.
The context is so important.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go with Carrie Fisher. I just saw episode 9. I'm going to go with
Carrie Fisher. She's so good.
David Bowie is star...
Yeah, Starman.
Starman?
No,
Starman, okay.
Yeah, Ziggy Stardust.
There it is. He's Ziggy Stardust. Starman's a comic book.
I just read a story about Carrie Fisher, about some director or something had been sexually harassing a girl on set, and she sent him a cow tongue. And said, something of yours is going to be wrapped up in a much smaller box if you ever touch her again. Her or anyone else on the set again.
Nice.
From Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
I adore her.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Oh, thank you.
Question number 3. Straight or curved?
Curved.
Always forward, never straight.
And whirling, twirling toward glory.
Swallowing a curved sword is way more impressive for the audience.
Yes.
That is the one thing that you do that actually...
Really?
Like...
The one thing, James? Think about that for a moment. That is the one thing that I...
That James
that
is
you
a
you perform
moon
on stage?
By.
Yeah.
That I've seen? Yes. I've watched you eat glass. It's entertaining. It's messed up, but it's entertaining. I've watched you, like, arrows and pool cues and all of that stuff.
Blade, that's the...
For some reason, that just makes me feel real fucking uncomfortable.
Because you have
it.
To bend your fucking body.
I yes. watch it, but it's still
it's
really...
It's disturbing.
Yeah. Anyway.
For contrast, I'm going to say straight lines. Because they are very satisfying when put in proper place.
Sure.
Mondrian like
style?
Well for like 2D art or 3D art or things like that, if you have good symmetry or pinstripes, things like that. I super adore pinstripes, so
might be selling me on the plaid
as opposed to more natural
organic versus
I wonder natural. If oh that might be it
organic versus
like
geometric
we know it might be like Hawaiian shirt versus kilt, and then I would have to say straight lines.
I mean, that's a strange comparison, but we'll go with it. Question number 4. Light or heavy?
Heavy.
Light.
Big heavy boots.
I don't like heavy blankets.
Oh, I do.
Weighted blankets make me feel stifled.
Really?
Fair.
As long as I can stick one foot out, you could put a brick on me.
And more oftentimes
weight.
Do.
Wait.
Giles Corey. Yeah.
Question number 5.
Yes.
Wisdom or intellect?
Oh, intellect is... I'm not going to say useless without wisdom, but it is, you get more bang for your buck for what intellect you have if you use it with wisdom.
Yeah. I mean, the old saying is, intellect is knowing tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in the fruit salad.
Right.
I would put it in the fruit salad.
But that's because you're choosing to.
Right.
Exactly.
But that's a part of wisdom, though. If you're thinking that it'll taste good, then that's a part of wisdom. If you're doing it blindly, it's a part of intellect.
But the thing is I love knowing things for the sake of knowing things.
I also love that.
Fucking Ravenclaw.
What?
Ravenclaw? From Harry Potter?
Oh.
He's never...
Oh.
And nope, don't
okay.
feel bad for him. He...
He chose that life?
Yep.
Now he has to live it?
He's extremely comfortable with that.
Okay.
As far as he's concerned, it's a set of YA novels that he will never read.
That's fair.
I've read two of them.
Oh.
And discovered that I wasn't a YA.
it's fair.
I just, I like, all it's wisdom, more of a YMCA. All knowledge is worth having. Yeah. I being a librarian is still something that I consider to be one of the more noble professions in the world. Curation of knowledge, information, data, give me that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I will make poor choices all day long, but give me knowledge.
And often do.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I will do these things with great relish, as long as I know.
Knowledge comes first. Wisdom thunder, comes after.
Thunder, thunder, crash, bang.
I know, it's so sexy. Sexy, sexy thunderbolts.
Hey, James. Hey, James, what did you pick?
He went with wisdom.
Did he?
Yeah.
No. I think he was explaining, he was backing me up, like a good primary, but like, what... What you thinking?
I'm thinking intellect. I used to read dictionaries when I was a kid and encyclopedias.
As did I.
Yeah.
Neat.
No, on the rocks.
That's...
Damn it!
Fuck.
I would just like to apologize for that one.
Jenna owes you one.
I don't know where
get
that
out.
Came That's from. The... I legitimately feel a little bad for that one. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Why? Who are you apologizing to? Me?
Jenna.
Me, probably. I hope.
Myself.
Mm. What?
This is self-care right now, okay? This has nothing to do with you.
Nothing that Salsa ever does.
Hold on. Let me have a little bit of self-care. Get out!
No. You have to push the buttons.
We can't because we need the context.
Dun, dun, dun.
It says, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Welcome to the new year, friend.
Woot, woot.
And Salsa James.
Oh.
I'm the friend this time! Yeah. Yes! Score.
Nice.
I suppose I should keep up my end of the bargain. Question number one.
How much did you pay for this?
I think we are paying for it right now.
Gin or tequila?
Okay.
When making The Three Sisters, Mary and Martha, vodka and gin, do you finish with a Bloody Mary, a Bloody Maria tequila, or a Bloody Moira Irish whiskey?
Oh.
I think this was supposed to be whiskey or tequila.
Moira,
might
definitely.
Maybe if it's gin, it's
he
a Bloody
says
Margaret.
You start with a vodka and gin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the question was supposed to be whiskey or tequila.
Well, usually for bloodies, I get a Bloody Margaret, which is the one with
either
gin.
Either way, whether it's gin or whiskey, I'm still going with that.
Right.
If I was going to go with the three, in what order would I do that? I would probably go Bloody Maria first.
Tequila?
Yeah, first.
Huh.
It tastes, if it's a good one, it tastes really sweet.
Yes.
It's really, you know, and then you kind of ride that hangover out with a classic Bloody Mary.
Oh.
And then wrap it up with a Bloody Margaret.
The problem is
or
that
a Bloody Moira.
It, the problem always comes when you mix tequila.
That's a Margaret.
Margaret
is the gin.
No, that's a Maria.
Or, no,
sorry,
that's
Martha.
We call it Margaret.
Martha.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. But the problems always come when you mix the tequila. So I would drink the tequila, wait 24 hours, and then have the other two in peace.
This is how you do it. You start with the Moira.
Okay.
Okay. Then you go with the Mary as a cleanser, as a palate cleanser. You're bringing it back. You're smoothing things out.
Okay.
And then you're going, then we're going to ramp it up a little bit into the Martha. That's how you do it.
So we're skipping the tequila.
Fuck tequila.
Thank you.
It's the three sisters. It's Moira, Mary, Martha. And you start...
Okay.
I can do that.
You start with the whiskey and you get the... Oh.
Oh.
And then you bring it back and you go, we're going to palate cleanser with the Mary. And then we're going to just give it a little bit of juniper.
See, whiskey always makes me feel more at home. And kind of warm and cozy. So I would actually want to finish with the whiskey.
Okay.
That makes sense.
But after the gin.
Gin, I think cleanser,
I can see gin cleanser.
Gin is bright to me, so
gin,
like
gin is very bright.
So I think of that as the beginning.
Starting with that would be problematic for me.
Oh, I would like to start my night at the bright end and then finish at the cozy end.
I'm picking up what you're laying down, but then I'm putting it back down again.
That's fair. And I'll pick it up and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think it's because if I have all three of those drinks, I want if I throw up, I want it to taste like my favorite of the three.
Okay.
So what did you pick?
The Margaret or Martha.
No, but like gin. Order. Okay.
Gin. Oh, so tequila, vodka.
Gin.
Gin.
Cool.
Okay, so you're picking tequila.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think you're correct. I think that is what they meant to ask. Yes.
Too bad.
Okay, so we'll go with this. If the question was gin or tequila, which would you choose?
Gin.
If the question was tequila or whiskey, which would you choose?
Whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number two. David Bowie or Carrie Fisher? Whom of the late space parents would you more like to have brunch with?
Oh, Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher. Not to diss David Bowie, because that would be fucking amazing.
No, yeah, that would be spectacular. Question I would pick three. David Bowie over a lot of people, but not Carrie Fisher.
Straight or curved?
Yeah.
When bowling or playing pool, do you try to curve the ball or play it straight?
Oh, it just curves on its own.
I mean, that's two different. That's completely different. I play pool completely differently.
I mean, they're both ball sports involving accurate aim.
And hitting them hard.
And knocking things down.
Yeah.
But I don't. I don't curve pool balls ever. I can't do that
yet.
I can play with backspin and side spin and stuff like that. I can direct where I want it to go after contact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but until that point, it's going
side spin is still
straight.
Like English is curve.
No, after the impact.
But it's still English.
Are you
after the impact?
After the impact, it geometrically goes on a different
whether it bounces straight back or to the left or to the right.
I would
it's
still
not
call that
curving. It's angling,
right?
Based on the spin of the ball, but ball you're hit still hard enough that it's still moving in a straight line.
I'm still saying that's different from just the straight approach and.
But
deflection.
It's not curved.
Yeah,
it's straight lines.
I would agree with that personally. Mm.
And by the way, if you want to learn to play pool, hang out more with Mav.
I know how to play pool. I actually came in me and my friend came in second in a pool tournament.
Well done.
Wow.
If you want to learn how to curve your balls.
And the only fucking reason we didn't win is because my partner fucking scratched on the eight ball. We were this close.
Well, there's that.
Anyway.
So if you want to learn to curve your balls.
You want to learn how to scratch your balls properly.
I don't.
All right. Then don't.
So, so we'll take this again in half. Bowling. Straight or curved?
Curve.
You know, I try to go straight, but it never quite works out.
Okay. I've tried curving, and I just have so much more better luck when it's straight. Pool.
I'm terrible at pool, but I love playing it. I will always try the curve.
Okay.
Does hopping the balls off of the table count as curved?
Oh, if that's the case, then I do know how to do jump shots.
Well, I'm going to say that's like a fancy
that's
fucking
a pretty
trick shot.
Fucking curve.
No, I just mean off the table, like onto the floor.
No, legitimately, straight up. I might have to go curve on this one. I might have to lie because I am pretty handy with a jump shot.
All right.
We had a pool table in my basement when I was growing up.
Nice.
Oh.
So.
Well, how nice.
Was it open during winter?
God damn it.
My younger sister, she's 5 years younger than me. When we were.
Was open during winter? What?
What? My younger sister is 5 years younger than me or so. When she was like 5 or 6 years old, we were at a wedding.
and she started to play pool with one of our distant cousins that we didn't actually know. One of those cousins, it's like,
sure.
Your parents are like, this is your cousin. And you're like, really? I don't.
You should care.
I've never heard this person in my life.
Yeah.
But she, he was the best man, by the way. She and the best man are playing pool. And it's shit, 5 year old younger sister, 5 or 6 years old. She suddenly looks at him and goes, now I'm not going to take it easy on you, and sings 3 in a row.
Yes.
And he just went, what the fuck just happened? I'm getting hustled by a 5-year-old.
Baby shark.
As she's humming it, kind of like bouncing up and down and sinking the balls.
I mean, this was, 30 years ago or 40.
Right.
I wouldn't. When did Baby Shark come out? Because it.
I don't know. As far as I'm aware of, 2 years, like 2 months ago.
No, Baby Shark is at least 25 years old.
What?
At least.
How can that be?
I heard it when I was in Virginia. Huh. Baby Shark is a resurgence.
All right.
Yeah. Did it in, I think it was in, like, children's church, we sang that song. Not gonna lie.
It does. It's got a lot of good religious messages.
I really think so.
In it.
It's got the blood in there.
Yeah. The body of Christ. Just floating there, limbless. I don't...
Just encased in written.
The crucifix. Yeah.
Question number 4. Light or heavy? Which class of armor is better for the D&D class most like your real self?
Heavy.
Light.
Oh, yeah. Like, my instinct is to say light, but when I have actually done combat, I've had so much more luck with heavy. I've done both rapier and sword and board combat and dagger, and I'm just much better at sword and board. So while my gut says light, experience says heavy.
I'm a rogue type, probably. So I'd say probably light.
Yeah.
Personally. I mean, yeah.
I mean, based on personality, I would say heavy. This is a really difficult fucking question.
Because same with me. Your experience.
Rush in,
is with
hit
light.
It in the face. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. Like, I rush in, hit it in the face, and just like, it's tank and, you know.
I go for the knee.
And then,
no, I'm sure.
No, yeah, no.
I would clean the fucking house because I would walk in and I would target their knee.
Well, good. Like,
and I'd snap their knee, and once their limb was cut off, then it was like, now I can pick you apart at my own pace.
One of that was my favorite how I did stories with accomplice Big Bear is that he was dragging me through Halo 2. Basically, he was the designated survivor, and I was I was along for the ride, and so. There are really huge enemies, and he tries to warn me ahead of time. He's like, there's a super huge enemy, and it's definitely gonna, like, watch out, it's got a giant weapon. And I was like, is the weapon a gravity hammer? And he goes, yes, how do you know that? And I was like, I just picked it up. And he goes, why do you have that? And I said, I leapt into the room, picked the biggest guy, and hit him in the face with the butt of my gun until I got his hammer. He's like, you're an idiot. This is why we have to retry so many times. And I was like,
it worked.
It worked this time. Yeah. Plus, I'm keeping this hammer. It's so fucking shiny. Jeez. But, like, as far as actual combat, I have so little actual combat experience. But in the approximation of combat, I have a lot more experience with fencing than I do anything else.
Yeah.
In Nerf Gun Wars, I do a lot better with the little crossbow than I do with anything else. So thank you, by the way, for giving me that Nerf crossbow. Yep. It turns out I'm fucking deadly with that nice. Shit.
Yeah. The problem is thinking about, like, realistically, if we're thinking, like, realistic, and we suddenly are endowed with the abilities of these classes, I would love to be an archer. But if I was going to be an archer, I'd also like heavy armor, because with if you're an archer, you can kind of like set up shop, and you wouldn't have to be...
I mean, usually you would set up shop a distance away.
Then. Right, but then you could also have heavy armor as well. So you get the benefits of having heavy armor and not getting killed as easily with also...
But there's the fatigue factor.
There is. There is.
There's a reason archers are usually lighter armor. Yeah.
That's fair. I don't know. I'd just be scared to die.
I mean, I feel like that's healthy.
That's how it usually... Well, I'm actually going to gainsay myself just a little bit. It's entirely possible that between sword and board and fencing,
yeah.
Sword and board is definitely where I'm stronger at. Mm-hmm. But I wrestled in high school. I've done a few different MMA-type style fighting things. That whole, like, one-on-one combat thing, I feel like maybe lends itself more to light armor?
I think it depends on what you're doing. Like, if it's a lot of... Like, for me, jiu-jitsu is my favorite hand-to-hand combat. And it's a lot of joint locks and momentum use and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's also like hip tosses and big slams and that kind of stuff. So there's
true. I'm much more. I'm like my brain is so much more wired for stealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Mine is not brain wise. Big hammer.
The thing is,
I like to sit back and think about it.
Well, part
I don't.
Part of why I would want light armor is because, like, when I was saying I don't like heavy blankets, I don't like being. Stopped from moving. So if I put on a coat that has short shoulders or smaller shoulders and I can't put my arms in front of my chest, I can't fucking stand it like at all. And I need to get out of it immediately. Or if I have too many layers on underneath a coat, I need to get out of it immediately. So I can't, like, I would want light armor in order to move.
I think movement, I'm a fat guy. Heavy armor would wear me out.
I liked the feeling of wearing armor. It'd work you out.
Honestly, you're right, wearing armor is
and pretty fun. When I buy but clothing,
even when I was wearing armor, it was primarily chainmail.
But I loved wearing plate armor. Like, it was exhausting, but it feels...
But then again, if this is your D&D character, we're assuming that they're already conditioned for it as well.
I would be more the armorer.
That's a good point.
Than the armor wearer.
I mean,
I enjoy leather work.
Oh, leather armor. Oh, it's so pretty.
Question number 5.
Yeah.
What? There's another one?
Wisdom or intellect? Of the two, which is more important to stat in the person from whom you seek guidance most often.
Oh.
And that's going to switch it to wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking. Charles, best friend, former landlord, I was talking to somebody about him, and I said, a lot of people will give you advice, and it's in good intentions, and it's often good advice, but he knows when to give people advice. Which takes wisdom. So when he gives advice, people listen because they know that it is...
That's always helpful.
The phrase I always heard was, wisdom is like a river. The deeper it is, the quieter it gets. And it's that person who never says anything, but when they do say something, everybody in the room fucking stops.
God, I wish I could be wise.
Who's got something to plug?
There's always Double Blind.
There is always.
There's always Double Blind. Third Thursday of every month.
There's always
Double Blind.
There's always Lab. There's always all these things.
That is actually this Thursday is Double Blind.
Is it?
The 19th?
It's not the 3rd. Week,
16th. 16th.
God, it is the 3rd.
So.
I've been taking a hiatus from a lot of things.
That's okay.
So.
Fearless 5 is going to be the end of February. We'll tell you more about that later. Mm-hmm. Is there a Vilification
the,
Tennis?
There is, yes. The last Friday of the month is Vilification Tennis Gets Put Down.
It heavy is the, petting.
The pets show.
So the 31st?
Not
that's
the
last Friday of the month.
It might be the next to the last Friday.
Hold on, I got it. I have it in my calendar. 24th.
All right.
Okay.
It's either the 24th or the 31st.
It is the 24th.
Okay.
Sorry. So it's the 24th, 10 p.m., get your tickets. And then the next one after that is the amateur show. And by the way, that show always sells out. So as soon as the tickets are available for the February show, fucking get them if you want to see the most spectacular show that will ever be put on by untrained assholes.
Cool. Mondo Juggle Fest is coming up. Mondo Juggle Fest is in just a month away. It's February 14th, 15th, and 16th.
February.
Unfortunately, if you were planning on pre-registering, the reduced price is no longer in effect. I think, I'm pretty sure I could be wrong
but
on
the
that.
Regular price is incredibly affordable.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. You should go see the spectacular because somebody, some sexy sword-swallowing devil is going to be in that show.
Is it someone you know?
No, I've never heard of his name. It starts with a K.
Kyle?
Oh, is Kyle swallowing swords now?
I mean, God, I hope not.
Keith.
God, I hope not.
Kebab.
Yeah, I hate that guy.
I mean,
guy.
If you do it wrong.
He always skewers everything.
Also, James and I are involved once again in something incredibly dumb.
Yes.
James, tell them all about it, what they want.
We are doing the Polar Plunge.
Suckers!
Yes, February 29th, we will be doing the Polar Plunge. Yes. We have a team right now. Go to... I'll post a link on the Facebook page because we have a team, Fearless Comedy Productions. Let me see. reg.plungemn.org/team/fearlesscomedy. Go to that website and donate. Donate. Right now we have four team members. I've been talked to by a fifth person. We'll see if that follows through or not. But we need to hit, each person needs to hit their minimum of 75 or they cannot jump in. And we want to raise this money for
the Special Olympics
of Minnesota.
Correct.
And so this is a actually like good.
Yeah, this is like a real good cause.
And it's a nonprofit and tax deductible, so do that.
Give money. Torture these assholes.
I know, right?
Right.
Then we have to jump in a
you
freezing
fucking
lake. You
win twice.
Have you seen how cold it is out there?
It's awful.
Fuck. Like, I really enjoy doing this event, but Jesus Christ, I've been walking outside the past couple days going, I don't want to do this.
I've done...
Last year when the frozen lake was warmer than the air, it was miserable.
I've done polar plunge once and got bronchitis. Shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So we're not doing that again.
So please, we are all sitting at $0 as of recording time, and that
do
cannot
it.
Be.
No.
So give that money.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Do it.
Do you have a shout out, James?
Shout out to Soup.
It's a good shout out.
Yeah. Soup makes you feel better when you're sad and also when you're sick and also when you're cold. And you can make soup with delicious vegetables.
Okay.
Shout out to all the teachers who are currently sitting at home, hopefully, and enjoying their beverages. Remember, we prefer the term winos
to alcoholics.
Yes, we prefer the term winos.
Oh, I thought to teachers, and I was going to say, I think some people might have a problem with
that. If you call us an alcoholic, we prefer the term winos.
I still prefer the term teachers.
That's what I said, winos.
It's not about you.
Yeah, no, I know.
But no, really, shout out to all the teachers out there.
Absolutely.
Who are in the same boat.
Indeed. Boats.
Boats.
Ice. Cold.
That ship has sailed, Salsa. We're on to the next portion. Hush up, James. It's James saying that.
Yeah.
Wait, did you just do the foghorn from Boats?
He's the foghorn.
James is kind of a dingy, to be fair.
It's masked hysteria.
You hit it on the nose.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to take a bow and leave as you give me these stern gazes.
Any port in a storm.
I don't want to incur any more anger.
God. Make it stop. Salsa, what's your fucking shout out?
I'm just going to dock this whole conversation right now.
Okay? I don't think you're going to make this sale.
Can we? We're sinking now.
If this keeps up, we are going to spar. Okay.
It's all right. He's just a figurehead.
Booey.
That's going to be a tough row to hoe, I'll tell you.
Oh, some days I'm happy Jenna's not here.
Because she would have shut the shit down.
She would have kicked both of us
off. This would all be on fire right now. So much fire.
Where was I? Oh, yes. My
waving goodbye.
What's your fucking shout out, Salsa?
I'm giving my shout out to snowblowers. Of which I currently don't have one.
Oh!
Because I apparently don't know my own strength. In the 10 years we've been living in this house, I have broken, in the 10 years we've been living here, 3 snowblower pull cords.
Doesn't that say more about the pull cords?
2 lawn mowers.
We're not doing that again.
5 brown stains.
No, when we moved in, there was a snowblower here. I broke the pull cord on that.
Yeah.
We got one. Our neighbor across the street was like, well, we've got this snowblower we don't use anymore.
Oh, this God, thing. No.
Like, awesome. So we used that for a while. Broke the pull cord on that one. It was
that one burned down, sank into the swamp.
They were 2 little single phase, you know, snowblowers. Whatever. We needed a better one anyway, so we bought a big 2-phase, you know, snowblower. We've had that one for a few years. It's been going great. Fucking broke the pull cord on that one.
So I need an extra thick pull cord.
Next year. No. Next year, he's going to be doing this podcast, and he's going to be like, guess who ripped the electric start off his fucking snowblower?
Seriously, one of these days, I'm going to be masturbating and just rip my dick off. That's going to happen.
Damn. Anyway. That escalated.
When you don't have one, you realize just how important those things are to have, because my fucking shoulders are...
A dick?
What? No.
Oh, snowblowers!
Your dick is as big as my arm.
Oh, God damn it.
Not mine. Anyway, I live on a corner lot, and so doing all of that sidewalk by hand fucking sucks. Okay? So, having a snowblower... Oh, okay, so not breakable. Okay.
No.
It's not? Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's my shout out. Snowblowers. They're so helpful. We've already done our plug, so anything else to add? Anyone? Anyone?
Thanks for having me.
Anyone? Yes, thank you so much for Bryn for stepping in at the last minute because Jenna was not feeling well.
And thank you, Dennis, for the Fast Five.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thanks, Dennis.
I still really don't.
To create a Fast Five almost. Here for us, simply send us 2 emails with... the context in the second one.
Fuck that. They know how to do that.
Well, just send us a Fast Five.
Yeah, you know
friends.
How to do it.
Yeah.
All right, adios, muchachos.
Okay. If there's nothing else, eat the fucking cake.
Bye, bye. Love you. Bye, bye, bye.
All right.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.